Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is Jack's Journal, an in-depth look at local issues that affect you and your community.
Hey there, welcome to Jack's Journal, and I'm Danielle Lee. Well, summertime isn't officially over until September 22nd. I guess that's technically when fall starts, but fall has already kind of started. You know, the weather is starting to become nice. The pumpkin spice lattes are out. Disclaimer, I have never had a pumpkin spice latte before. I just know pumpkin spice lattes equals fall. I mean, stores even have fall scents out, so technically it is kind of fall. But anyways, when I think of fall, I think of going outside because, you know, the weather is not as hot, so it's a little cooler and nice to go outside. And one thing I always liked as a kid growing up, and I wish I did more, was go out with my family. We moved around a lot, so we always went out and went to different places and everything. But there's something that I just really enjoy, and that's experiencing the outdoors with my family. So today, I have two very special guests. For those of you that are looking for that sense of adventure or things to do outside, I have Daryl Joseph from the City of Jacksonville and Nathan Souter from the National Park Service. Thanks so much, guys, for coming in today. How are you?
Good, Daniel. Thanks for having us.
No problem. So one of the best things that I love about doing this show is that it brings awareness to what's going on here in our community. But I also enjoy it because I moved here last year, and it's really awesome to kind of get to know the community through this job. So my first question is for you, Daryl. Can you give me just a background about the Jacksonville parks?
Absolutely. Daniel, we have about 400 parks here in the city of Jacksonville, and so we're fortunate as citizens to have parks that we can have different experiences. We have, of course, your ball fields, walking trails, swimming pools. So there's something for everyone at our park system.
And Nathan, for you, can you give me some background about the National Park Service?
Sure. The National Park Service has two units within the Jacksonville city boundaries, the Timaquan Ecological and Historic Preserve. Kingsley Plantation is a part of that out north of Hexer Drive. And then we have Fort Caroline National Memorial that's out by Mayport.
Okay. Now, what, for either of you, what kind of places here in the city classifies as one of these parks or units? Like, what does it have to be a public place? Is it a private place?
Yeah, all of our parks are publicly owned, so it's, you know, we like to feel like it's something for everyone as far as our residents, because the residents pay taxes, and at the end of the day, these are our parks.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, all of our parks are publicly owned lands that we protect.
Got it. So you say you guys have something for everyone. What kind of programs are available through the Jacksonville Parks Commission?
Sure. The Parks Department, actually, we do a program called the Rec and Roll Program.
Mm-hmm.
What that program does is actually allow youth to be out in our park system and actually have organized activity when they actually come up to the park. So we have a staff person that brings balls and various games and kind of leads youth and serves as a mentor as well. Other things that we actually do, of course, we have 30 swimming pools. So during the summer months, we actually offer swim lessons. So we want to make sure all of our children are familiar with water and water safety.
Right. So 30 swimming pools. How do you guys maintain that? That's a lot.
It's a tough job. It's a tough job. But we actually partner with Duval County School Board. A lot of our pool sites are at some of the Duval County public schools.
Uh-huh.
So our pool season is from Memorial Day weekend all the way up to Labor Day weekend. So we're just finishing our pool season, and there were a lot of children as well as adults that were able to utilize our pools.
Got it. Going back to water safety, I think that's very important. I was a Navy kid growing up, so
okay.
Lived around water my whole life, so I've always been a big advocate for water safety, and I think that's great that you guys do that. Do you also partner with Duval County Schools with water safety lessons as well?
Yes, we actually work with the school board. They actually have swim teams at some of the actual schools. But we're actually in the process of expanding on our water safety program to actually be able to reach more people.
Got it. So I'm at the website online at coj.net, and it says there is always something to do, see, and experience daily at our parks. What are some of the special features of the parks that allow these experiences?
Well, again, it just depends on what you want to do as far as from a recreational standpoint. Everyone doesn't want to go out and throw a football
right.
or play basketball. So we have both active as well as passive parks. Our trail system is expansive, and we're continuing to move forward. So we connect locations. One of the things that we've noticed is when you are able to connect people will tend to get out of their cars and actually walk to our parks. So that's one of our ultimate goals between walking and biking. The other thing is one of the creative ideas that we're working on now at most of our playgrounds, of course, traditionally you have a playground and you have a bench.
Right.
So one of the things that we're looking at is how do we incorporate adults when you're there at the playground with your child? So we're including fitness stations at playground so adults can actually get their workout on when they're there with their child while they're playing.
That's really interesting. How did that come to be, like getting that idea?
Well, years ago, the thought process was, let's put our develop a walk path, and then you actually create the fitness areas along the walk paths.
Mm-hmm.
But I have a 9-year-old daughter, so when I go to the park with her, of course, she's on the slide and the swing set. I tend to have nothing to do but sit there on the bench.
So exactly.
From that standpoint, the process around the country is moving, the trend around the country is moving towards having something in our parks for everyone. So it's not just here in Jacksonville, it's more what's going on around the country.
Got you. So earlier this year, I did an interview about senior care and senior services. One of the things with geriatric care that you see a lot more seniors going through with this care, and I've learned through that, is that the baby boomers are now getting up into that retirement age. So I'm just curious, do you guys have anything senior service related? Because a lot of people do come to Jacksonville to retire.
Sure. Yes, the Senior Service Division is part of the Parks Department.
Mm-hmm.
So from that standpoint, we have organized activities at our various senior centers that allow seniors to come in and receive a nutritious meal as well as have activities to stimulate them on a daily basis as well.
Got it. I'm also looking at the website right now, and I see something about the Senior Games, which is coming September 30th. What's that all about?
Well, the Senior Games gives an opportunity for our seniors in the city as well as in the region to be competitive. Just because you get a little older doesn't mean you lose that competitive fire.
Right.
So the Senior Games has been going on for many years and it's continuing to grow and more events are being added on an annual basis.
Got it. So we've talked about adults, things for adults, things for seniors. I also see something about services for those that are disabled and handicapped.
Sure. One of the things that we would look at is from our park system, again, going back to my common theme of having something for
everybody.
Everyone, we definitely want to make sure our park system is ADA compliant, meaning that it's accessible to people of all abilities. So from that standpoint, we work really hard to get people of all abilities in our park system that allow them to do things that you wouldn't commonly think that you would have people out doing that have some level of a disability.
Right. I really like what you're saying here because to me, the parks here in Jacksonville really give that sense of family and coming togetherness with you guys saying you have something for everybody.
Sure. And what we believe that parks are about bringing people together.
For sure.
It's about connecting people. One of the initiatives that we're moving towards are fit caps in parks. So Saturday mornings, you have people that are out walking on our walk trails already.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that we are looking to figure out how we can get done is how do we develop fit camps in the park? So there's an organized opportunity on Saturday mornings when you're in the parks to actually get a workout in. And in addition to that, I think that's going to help people learn who their neighbors are and connect to additional people.
Got it. So, Nathan, you've been kind of quiet. Back in August, I was told that the National Park Service celebrated its 100th anniversary. Can you give me some details on that?
Yeah, on August 25th in 1916, the National Park Service as an organization was created. So on August 25th, we did celebrate our 100th anniversary. And really for us, this 100-year celebration is only part about celebrating the fact that there was the vision to create these lands and set them aside for future use. So to celebrate that, but mostly to look at the next 100 years, and really what Daryl's speaking to is exactly what the National Park Service is at, which is this place of making parks relevant. And if they're not accessible to people of all abilities and there aren't things for people to engage with all people, then you're not relevant to part of society. And with us, since we're created either by a president or by Congress, it's really important that the people understand the importance of protecting our history and our lands, because they can be written out with the stroke of a pen as quickly as they're written in.
Okay. Now, you have to excuse my ignorance, because I don't really understand or know about, you know, the parks here in Jacksonville. And I know you've mentioned a few earlier in the show. Can you just go over them again and just give our audience just an explanation about these parks?
Sure. Yeah, Jacksonville's blessed with having the largest urban park system, as we say. And that is a composition of federal, state, and city lands. So Daryl being the director for the city parks and rec, with over 400 just within city parks. We also have state parks, which are managed by the state of Florida. And then we have national park units, which are managed by the Department of the Interior federally. And so on the federal side, with the National Park Service, we have the Timucuan Ecological and Historic Preserve, which is about 46,000 acres of salt marsh along the coast, one of the largest left expanses of salt marsh. And within that 46,000-acre jurisdiction, there was a separate monument created for Caroline National Memorial that interprets the history that took place in that area.
Okay.
And Daniel, one thing I would like to add to, to what Nathan was just saying, one of the reasons Nathan's here is basically a testament of federal government and city government working together.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that we've done is actually we've created a movie in the park series. And traditionally, the movie in the parks were, of course, at some of our city parks, but we partner with the National Park Service to do one of our movies at one of the national park locations. And we actually had a great experience with that, and we'll continue to build on that relationship. But our movie in the park series, we're going to continue to do those coming up in the fall. And I'll definitely leave some information behind for you.
Oh, yes,
talking
definitely.
About that, so you can help us get the word out.
Oh, for sure.
It's a great opportunity for families to come out and enjoy a movie at a park.
Exactly. I have two nephews and one niece that live in South Georgia, where I'm from originally, and they're always looking for reasons to come down and stay in my little apartment, and I'm just like, there's not really, I mean, what do you guys want to do? But I didn't even know there was movies in the parks, and that'll be a great thing. You know, I'm all about bringing families together and having a good time.
Great.
Another thing that I'm really all about is I'm all about volunteering and getting the word out. Do either of you offer any kind of volunteer or internship opportunities?
Yeah, I'll tell just in general, of course, of having 400 parks.
Right.
There's always something to do or something that needs to be done within our park system. So we have cleanups. We actually have trail cleanups, trash pickup days, things along those lines. We have those on a monthly basis. We do partner with groups that are having cleanups as well and volunteer opportunities. I want Nathan to tell you about something that we have coming up that I definitely think is going to be a great event and opportunity to get people out and allow them to volunteer.
Oh, what's up, Nathan?
Yeah, on October 8th, we're having an event that we're calling Explore Jacksonville Hogan's Creek Biodiversity Festival. The Explore Jacksonville Hogan's Creek is that at Clutho Park, Henry J. Clutho Park, which is right downtown, we're doing a Bio Blitz and Biodiversity Festival. And what that is it's citizen science. So people come out and they become scientists using the iNaturalist app or using inventory checklists, and they partner with experts in their fields to go through the park and find all living organisms, from microorganisms to the little blue heron that might be in Hogan's Creek that day. And so really this event is to, one, explore your backyard, literally.
Right.
There's a lot of housing in Springfield right there, as well as other housing that backs up to the park. But then it's also to learn about the impacts that we're having on Hogan's Creek, which feeds as a tributary into the St. John's River. And so there is this interconnectedness between our decisions and our environment. And so that said, for this event, it's going to be a festival. So we're closing down a road. We're having food trucks come in. We're having education stations where there's fun, interactive games for people.
Mm-hmm.
What all this means is there is a lot of opportunities to volunteer.
Oh, awesome.
We need people that are willing to learn the iNaturalist app and be pro observers to help identify. And the way that this works is really cool because it's crowdsourcing at its finest. You have this app where you take a picture of an organism and you upload it, and then scientists around the world can identify it for you.
Oh.
And so we're getting this extensive inventory of all the living things, from the plants to the animals in that area. But we also need general volunteers, in addition to people that are willing to help facilitate the use of that app. And, you know, that the setup, the takedown, but also I'm guessing each one of the education vendors could use assistance. So it's just a great community event to engage people of all abilities to come out to a local park.
Definitely. So if somebody's listening right now and they're thinking, wow, this festival sounds exciting and they want to take part in it, or I would like to be a volunteer, where can they go to learn more information about it?
Two opportunities for that. JaxParks.com, JaxParks.com, as well as it can call 630-CITY. Those are the two opportunities to find out more information, not just for this opportunity, but for additional programming and volunteer options that are out there as well.
Got it.
And I'll add, follow us on social media. So it'll be on the Facebook pages of these organizations, the National Park Service, Tim McQuan, and the City of Jacksonville, as well as on our Twitter feeds and the normal routes where you can get your social media feeds.
Got it. Now, I'm curious, what is a normal day at work like for you guys?
Well, Daniel, there's no normal day at work. I mean, every day, you know, which is a great part about my job.
Right.
Every day is different. So just like our parks, there's a different experience. Every day is a new experience, and we have so much opportunity with having over 400 parks.
Yeah, that's huge.
I'm tasked with trying to find ways and creative ways to get people out of the house into our park system.
Now, is Pokemon Go helping you out with that at all?
Absolutely.
That is actually going to be part of our event on the 8th as well. We're going to have the ability for people to come out and find virtual creatures.
Awesome.
So, yes, being able to leverage that brings out a new audience that we might not have traditionally utilize the park. And so then we're strategizing how we can integrate them into programming and create programming for this audience that's coming out to these public places anyway.
Before we wrap up, anything else? Is there anything either of you two would like to add?
Daniel, I just want to say thank you for the opportunity for allowing us to come and share what we have going on with our park system. Again, most people, when they come into parks, they don't necessarily know if it's a state park or a city park or, you know, federal park.
Mm-hmm.
So we're trying to work for that to be a seamless transition, but to ensure that people are having a good time and enjoying when they actually utilize our park system.
And Nathan, anything from you?
Really, it's about us meeting the needs of the community, because, you know, we're not looking out for our entity first. We're looking out for the community first. And we know that there's links between your personal health and your ability to go out and recreate preventative health and, well, just the holistic health of it. And so I guess that's my message, is that we want people to care because we care about the people. We're not right. these places without the people. And like Daryl said, it's a place where we can come together. So feedback is always appreciated and participation in events, and we listen to it and we cater the events that way because the parks are for the people.
Perfect. Well, I would just like to thank you both for coming in and taking the time to talk with me. I really do appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you, Danielle.
No problem. And once again, thanks to all of you guys for listening. This is Jack's Journal, and I'm Danielle Lee. We will talk again same time next week.
You've been listening to Jack's Journal, a production of News 104.5 WOKV.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.